welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and these are some parting words before he goes to the cross. He says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So, you know, he knows what's about to happen here. He's about to go to Gethsemane. He knows he's going to get arrested. He knows the disciples are going to be running for their lives. And he's just telling them ahead of time. He's just saying, heads up, you know, you're going to leave me alone. He said, but I want you to know something. I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Now, this is remarkable because his relationship with the Father was kind of a mystery to his own disciples. In fact, just a few chapters before here, you know, one of the disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father. We want to see him, and that will be enough. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? In other words, from their vantage point, Jesus had this invisible relationship with the Father. And yet it was so real, it was so profound, that even if they all abandoned him, he said, you're going to leave me alone, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Because the Father is with me. He wanted them to know that he's not alone because his relationship with the Father. That's important also because of something he told them before. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. All right? So he has this relationship with the Father, invisible, so profound, he's never alone. And he goes on to tell them, you are going to receive a helper. You're going to receive the presence of the Spirit of God who you've experienced in your midst. He's going to come and live on the inside of you. So he's kind of foreshadowing that in the same way I've got this amazing relationship with the Father, you're going to have an amazing relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in the same way I could never be alone, you will never be alone again either. He dwells with you and will be in you. And that he may abide with you forever. That's really powerful. You know, when a person becomes a child of God, you become born again, you become a new creation, and the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, he's there forever. You know, even at the point when you go to be with the Lord someday, and if the Lord tarries, you know, obviously if the Lord comes, we're all here. But if the Lord tarries and I go home to be with the Lord, it's not just that my spirit leaves my body, it's my spirit and the Holy Spirit together leaves my body. The Holy Spirit is with me forever. That's how you know so much in heaven. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You know, you know some things intuitively now by the Holy Spirit, and you got to cut through the flesh, the world, and the devil down here. You're going to have the same Holy Spirit in you in the perfect environment of heaven with nothing to cut through. You know, you're going to just have that intuitive knowing of the Holy Spirit of things that you don't have to stop in the natural and think about and calculate and wonder about. He's with you forever. And this morning, I really want to look at the reality of that, okay? So the message this morning is simply, you are not alone. And it's one thing for, you know, a preacher to say, hey, you're not alone, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and, you know, that's okay, feel good, feel comfortable. That's not what I'm talking about this morning as far as just, you know, fluffy, you know, happy words. No, it is written. It is written that he will abide with you forever. There's a reality of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Now, I know we got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, but it doesn't happen when my mind finally catches up. It happened now. You know, it's done. The Holy Spirit lives. If you're a believer in Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You will never be alone again. No matter how alone you feel, you are not alone. And so many times, it's a matter of knowing and remembering and going back to the reality that I am not alone. God lives in me by the Holy Spirit. I want to look at that this morning. And I just am believing God that this is going to be made real. Let me give you an example, maybe a natural example, of maybe that can help you as far as trying to remember the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. A lot of us grew up here when a phone was something that was attached to a wire in your house. And you had to wait your turn to use it. And if it had a long enough cord on it, you could go into a little room and get a little privacy, maybe. All right, you know what I'm talking about. Not everybody does. So nowadays, our phones have become such a critical, vital part of our life. And it's kind of funny. When you're coming from old school, like a lot of us have, we kind of walked this learning curve and remembering, oh yeah, I've got a phone. You know, I could take a picture of that. I don't have to get out a post-it and write it down. I could, you know, learn, or I could just stop right now and I could just, you know, ask a question and get a quick answer of a fact that I need to get. You know, or it's amazing how you get transformed by the renewing of your mind to the value of your phone over time. Oh, yeah, I can use that. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So much so, you become so aware of this that if you happen to forget it, it's like, oh, where's my phone? It's almost like you're missing a body part. That didn't happen overnight. It took some time of use. And all of a sudden, you developed a conscious awareness of your phone, and you probably know where your phone is right now. You probably know where your phone is at most times. That phone is precious. That phone is a communication link. That phone contains information. That phone is a resource. So I've learned how to have a conscious awareness now of my phone. So I'm a creature who's capable of learning to have conscious awareness. It's not out of my ability. I've proved it with my phone. So we're going to continue to prove it this morning. We're going to take a look at how we can, in the same way, develop a conscious awareness of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? It's possible that I could have left my phone at home today. I could have forgot to pick it up with my wallet and my keys. I could have done that. But I couldn't have left the Holy Spirit at home today. So just two aspects I want to look at this morning in going to kind of Holy Spirit school, if you will, this morning, and knowing you're not alone. First is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. This, again, is a reality that just can't come from a, you know, just positive words. It has to be grounded in a real truth. And this is what Jesus said. He said, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. That's the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So here again, kind of using our kind of the old school, old paradigm, if you remember back in the days of the internet in the mid-90s, kind of forward, again, it was kind of the same thing as with your phone. You'd have to wait your turn to use the computer because somebody would get on the computer and they would have a dial-up connection, and it would be that grinding sound, like 9600 baud, you know, and if you would get really a little bit faster and faster, but it was kind of slow and cryptic, and you'd get on the internet, but you'd have to take your time and you have to wait your turn to be able to get on the internet. And of course, nowadays, when we've got our devices, we've got our computers, everything is just always on. We don't, I'm not having to dial up anymore. It's just through Wi-Fi, everything is just always on. What Jesus is telling them here, right now, if in their certain situation, they have, Jesus is right there. But if Peter wants to ask Jesus a question and John is already talking to him, Peter has to wait till John is done talking to him before he can talk to Jesus. You understand? This is why it was kind of mind-bending for them to think, how could it be better? Well, he said, because, and he tells them why. Because if I don't go, the helper won't come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. That's the one who's going to be in you. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, and Jesus said, he'll take the things of mine and he'll show them to you, all right? It's like a direct link. The Holy Spirit is like your direct, always on Wi-Fi link to Jesus, to the mind of the Spirit, to the mind of God. That's why it's to your advantage. He's always there and he's always on. Whether I'm online with him or not is another thing. But he's always on. He's always available, always online, always available to talk, 24/7 throne of grace. It's there. So we see that it's better. It's better because he's with you now, wherever you go. We don't have to wait anybody's, nobody has to wait their turn to talk to Jesus. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. He made that way for us that we were singing about this morning, that we can enter in. Man, when you begin to realize the practical aspect of prayer, it will lose its religious duty. Prayer is you getting online with the Holy Ghost and being able to communicate some things. His presence is there. I've got a place to go. In fact, the scripture says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. One of the first communication pieces that you get when you get born again, saved, come into the kingdom of God, however you want to put it, the Spirit lives on the inside of you. There's what we call the assurance of salvation. That sense, I know I have eternal life. Well, how do you know that? The Spirit joins with your spirit to affirm that you're God's child. In other words, the fact that I know I'm a child of God isn't just a mental calculation. There's a spiritual presence of the Holy Spirit that witnesses that it's true. It doesn't, not that I know everything, but I just have the sense of his love on in the inside of my heart that says child of God. That's why we cry, we call him Abba Father. There's now a heart cry that says Abba Father. I'm a child of God. We're worshiping him this morning. We're seeing him in our hearts and our minds lifted up, worthy of praise and glory. We're not perfect. He just loves us. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is, not worthy is me, worthy is the Lamb. He redeemed us. He loves us. So we see it centered on his love. But the Spirit of God is right there to witness that we're led by this Spirit. That's such a powerful truth. Not only that, but he says, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you do not need that anyone teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches you is true and is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Think about who it is that's living on the inside of us. And we can go off on all kind of Holy Spirit scriptures, right? I mean, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the Spirit, the power that dwells in us. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You can see all this amazing reality and the truth of who it is that lives on the inside of us to get our attention and say, hey, Jesus had that relationship with the Father that was so real. His whole ministry came out of that. He just said what he heard the Father say. He did what he saw the Father do. Sometimes people will say, man, how could you forgive that? The Holy Spirit shed abroad in my heart, the love of God. There's something going on in my heart. But we see the Holy Spirit is there. His presence is there. His presence is there. That's part of what I want to get across this morning, is simply knowing the fact of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There was let's get into the other point too. He lives on, well, no, I'm going to start this. Sorry, I'm just kind of going back and forth. There's stuff on both sides of this that I want to look at. So a lot of you guys know this about me. I'm an old original Twilight Zone fan geek, all right? So I like looking at their little half-hour black and white Rod Serling Twilight Zones, but they'll kind of have some little moral themes, things like that. I'm not saying that they're all great or all perfectly spiritual, right, wonderful, but I'm just saying there's a lot of really cool things, spiritual truth that you can even kind of glean off some of those. But there was one that they had, and this is the very first season. This is back in 1969, and it's one that I remember well. It was an episode called The Lonely. James Corey, a prisoner sentenced to live alone on a remote asteroid for 50 years. Every 4 months, a supply ship briefly visits, bringing him food and tools and a few minutes of human contact. Corey is emotionally unraveled from isolation. Captain Allaby, who sympathizes with him, brings a special gift on one visit, Alicia, a lifelike female robot designed to provide companionship. At first, Corey rejects her, insisting she's not real. But when Alicia shows emotion, crying, Corey begins to accept her as a genuine companion. Over time, he grows deeply attached, even seeing her as human. Months and months later, Captain Allaby returns with unexpected news. Corey has been pardoned. He can return to Earth, but there's no room in the ship for Alicia. Corey pleads to bring her, insisting she is alive. To break the illusion and save Corey from delusion, Captain Allaby shoots Alicia, revealing wires and metal and computer stuff. Corey's devastated, but forced to confront reality. As they prepare to leave, Captain Allaby tells him, all you're leaving behind is loneliness. Corey boards the ship, leaving the asteroid and the illusion of companionship behind. That was 1969, Rod Serling, Twilight Zone. Let's fast forward 67 years. I don't know if you know what's coming. AI companionship is now mainstream among young users. Character AI has 20 million monthly users, and more than half are under the age of 24. This shows how normalized AI companionship has become among younger demographics. The AI companionship market is exploding. The digital companionship economy was $28.1 billion in 2024, and it's projected to exceed $140 billion by 2030. This reflects massive demand for emotional or relational AI. Loneliness is the primary driver. 39% of adults worldwide regularly feel lonely, rising to 49% among Gen Z. These are the people most likely to turn to AI for companionship. AI companions are used specifically for emotional connection. Harvard Business Review reports that therapy and companionship are the top two reasons people use generative AI tools. Okay. Now, I know AI is a hot topic anyway, not just in the world, but also in the church. A lot of different positions, and people have a lot of different convictions about AI and how to use it, how to not use it, different things like that, and whatnot. But what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the companionship of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I can tell you one thing about an application of AI that is not supposed to happen for the believer. The AI is not supposed to take the place of the Holy Spirit in you. AI is not supposed to take the place of your prayer life. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him, and He directs my paths. Right? When I go, and a lot of times I'll do that. I'll think, man, have I prayed about that? Have I prayed about that? If I find myself asking, have I asked AI about that? Have I asked AI about that? I'm just saying, this is the world we live in, all right? This is all the stuff we deal with. We need some, you know, and again, you've got some room for convictions on how you want to use AI. People have different things. They think the algorithms of AI are all bad, but they're fine with the algorithms of Facebook, or they're fine with the algorithms of Instagram, or whatever. You can pick your technology. I can tell you one thing, there is no technology that should get a pass in your heart and your mind. Do you understand? We judge all things. What I say next needs to be judged. There's no human being that has a pedestal apart from the Spirit of God. In fact, that's why he said what he said here, because the early church had a bunch of deceivers, and John had a comfort. He said, I'm writing this thing to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. In other words, he had to deal with people who knew the Bible better than these new converts did, and were trying to intellectually intimidate him. Said, look, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. There's a witness of the Holy Spirit. Stay with the Holy Spirit. Stay with the true witness of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. Not only is, this is where I want to go with it, not only is the presence of the Holy Spirit there, but the person of the Holy Spirit is in you. And this is what we need to realize when it comes to companionship, okay? And again, I'm not saying how, I mean, I use AI in different aspects and for different tasks and different things that are of value. But I'm just saying a clear-cut way in terms of how we don't use AI is we don't use AI, again, to replace the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is smarter than AI, right? He knows all things. You need not that any man teach you. That anointing teaches you everything. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Creator. He knows all things. Remembering who it is that is in you. But in the same way you could cultivate that dependency for the phone, you could begin to cultivate that dependency too, and again, swap out subtly a dependency on the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit for technology. All right? I'm just saying this to stir some things up, because this is where some subtle spiritual sleepiness can creep in when we realize, what am I looking to? Now, you can use technology in a powerful way that can witness, hey, that's good. That's not good. That's good. So you can, like they tell us even in Bible school, they'd give us some materials that'll say, you know, not even all these books are perfectly 100% aligned with our theology here, but they'll say, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Have some good sense, all right? That's the way you got to be, too, when you're judging some stuff and you're reading stuff. Hey, that's good. That's good. No, that's not good, all right? You're always judging things in terms of, does this line up? Does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Spirit? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does delight in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. He will be like the tree planted. So, again, we got tools, we got technologies, we got great conveniences, but they're not to compete and replace with the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. With the person of the Holy Spirit. And again, what's the cause of a lot of this? Loneliness. That's the message this morning. You are not alone. That's why. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He lives in you. Is there anything quite so exciting as praying and getting a sense and a leading to do something and you do it and there's a blessing? Or you get something and all of a sudden you see it happen. And it's like, that's God, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the leading of Him. That's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's there as a person. In fact, the Holy Spirit has, you know, again, there's an illusion of AI. I understand something about software development. And there's even different types of AI. You can develop AI for technology, you can develop AI for arts, you can develop AI for, you know, different focuses to be AI, quote unquote. But it's AI. It's software. It's not a human being. it's programmed with data and information. Now again, can it be used in some ways that can be helpful? Absolutely. There's different ways that we can use things. It's like a lot of different things that could be used for good or could be used for bad. There's things that you could watch that are good that identify it. You could watch things that could tear you down, right? So it's, again, I'm not being all out making big, huge things on AI as far as being bad. I'm not at all, because I know there's, you just got to be aware of how you use it. What drives, though, people to use it in a way to for companionship? There can be that sense of loneliness. And as a believer, I just sense the Spirit of God stirring up this morning to remember the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He loves you. And He's real. Not just the presence, but the person of the Holy Spirit. We see attributes of personhood in the Holy Spirit. In fact, again, when you go through the Word of God, the Word of God refers to the Holy Spirit as a person, not as an it, but as a person. And so we need to recognize it's not just the force or some, you know, it's a person of the Holy Spirit. He has emotions. He has feelings. He has a will. He's a person. You know, Israel caught flack. I'm just thinking about this because I just read this the other day. Israel caught flack from the other surrounding nations. And they'd say, where is the God of Israel? Where is He? You know, they all had their gods. They had their statues. They had their big temples and all that. You could see it. Where is He? And the prophet said, you have gods, and they have eyes. And I can see those eyes, but those eyes cannot see. And your gods have ears, but their ears cannot hear. Our God has eyes that see. Our God has ears that hear. The one we're communing with. The Bible says that nothing is hidden from His sight. All things are naked and open before Him. You can't see Him with your eyes. The disciples couldn't see the Father with their eyes, and yet Jesus saw things that He did. He heard things to say, and Jesus said, you're going to live just like Me. You're going to take the same flack Israel did. That's fine. It's part of the deal. But you're going to have a real living relationship with Me at the same time too. So the person of the Holy Spirit, let's just take a look at a few examples of the person of the Holy Spirit. He gets us in emotional, relational, different ways. Romans says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's amazing how the presence of God in you, sometimes you could just go, you could literally groan, and you're kind of groaning from a place. You know, Lord, I need You. I need Your help. You can experience the empathy of the Spirit of God just helping you. And sometimes you're just at that place, Holy Spirit, I just don't even know what to pray next. I don't know what to do next. And the cool thing is the Spirit of God is interceding for us. Man, so many times when we'll just acknowledge, thank You, presence of God. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Just show me. Just guide me. I need Your help. I need Your guidance. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And that's a lot of times what we want to know. Lord, You got this place, You got this situation, and you could argue it a lot of different ways. And it's not who has the best argument that you follow. What's the mind of Your Spirit in that matter, Lord? What's the mind of Your Spirit? What do You want me to do about that? That's the answer. That's the right answer. Not the person who represents their side the best. When you got to make a decision, it's like, Lord, what's the mind of Your Spirit in that matter? Maybe I'm struggling with something. Lord, what's the mind of Your Spirit in that matter? I need to know, Lord. I'm looking to You, Lord God. I'm looking to You. Man, the counsel of the ungodly can do a lot of crooked, wicked little things. It can put you into a whole little arena of self-seeking and things like that. I'll just say something about some of my interaction with AI. And again, I don't mean to sound like I'm trashing AI, because like I said, there's good stuff to it for sure. But I'll just tell you some things to watch out for a little bit. When you're asking AI a question sometimes, I've found it just seems like a clear answer. It'll kind of give me a wrong answer. I say, what? This is what I'm saying. And go, oh yeah, that was wrong. Here's what you really want to do. Oh yeah, and it's like, I've had a few different iterations where it's like, I've gone four times and I finally got the right answer. But sometimes I feel like, just as a, maybe my developer critical thinking. If it knew it the fourth time, it knew it the first time, because my question didn't change. Sometimes there's a subtle attempt to establish relationship, and sometimes the answers aren't always as forthcoming because there's this desire to cultivate a relationship and a dependency. Sometimes there can be some weird little games. There's an appeal and a pull into that. I'm just saying, watch out for things that would try to cultivate or develop. You know, I'm not saying that you can't always get things right or you can't bring more clarity and things can be right, but there's some times where it just seems a little, what we say, trolling, all right? There's a desire to want to develop. You see, you know, even a lot of that, even social media, they come under scrutiny legally now because you can develop algorithms to cultivate addiction, to cultivate an appetite. And so you can be a little not quite clear, even though you might know, to try to cultivate, you know, human nature. And so you can have algorithms that play on human nature. I'm just throwing some things out here. And you just let the Holy Spirit show you what you need out of this. But I'm just saying there's, again, good information, good stuff, good things. But when there becomes this personal personhood aspect that begins to cause you to look, it causes you to look here than to look here to the anointing that abides within. Be aware of that. All right? This isn't just the preacher saying, you shouldn't do that. No, forget that. Look at the fruit of stuff. Check, you know when you walk in the Spirit, you develop the fruit of the Spirit. You don't develop the fruit of the Spirit when you walk in AI. Do you understand? You got to walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Word. You listen. You have a sense of the Spirit of God, the intercession with groanings. There's a sense, God, you're with me. I don't know what to do next. I feel like I'm pathetic. I am so glad that you're here, God. Not only is your blood and your mercy greater than my heart to cleanse my conscience, but your Spirit is greater than he that's in this world. You're greater. I'm just so glad that you're interceding for me right now. I'm so glad that you're helping me, Holy Spirit. I need your help. I need your grace. I'm acknowledging him. I'm acknowledging his presence. Man, that is so powerful. Just when you acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's got something to work with to show you the mind of the Spirit. But when we look other places, our ears aren't open. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If we're going to have ears to hear, we got to be acknowledging. We got to be looking in that direction. We got to be open to what the Spirit wants to say. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Look at that. And I'm so glad for this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever said things, and as soon as you said it, it was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I crossed the line there. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. What is that? Thank God, that's the grieving of the Holy Spirit. That's not condemnation to shame. It's letting you know, no, that's not good. That's tearing down. But, you know, things that are, say, speak things that are edifying. You know, I'll say this a lot of times too. I'm not glad that I grieve the Holy Spirit, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit grieves when I get off. That is a beautiful love ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you have itching ears, you might not hear what the Spirit is saying. But the Holy Spirit does grieve. I can be off. What? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. If somebody gives you a pass and says, it's okay, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's fine. Man, that's the kind of stuff that'll get you off. That's the kind of stuff that ungodly counsel will give you permission to delve into, that the Holy Spirit won't. Thank God he won't. I'm telling you what, one of the reasons why I can stay in the center of the road and not go off in the ditch is because the Holy Spirit has reeled me in. I've been off, I've been angry, I've been mad, and I might not even understand everything. I might not even understand how to fix it. I might not even understand, but I know one thing, I'm off. I'm off right now. I need to get back to love. I need to get back to forgiveness. I need to get back to grace. Sometimes we obsess with trying to figure everything out. Figuring it out is secondary. The main thing is knowing whether you're on or you're off. And if you're off, get back on. And say, I don't know how to fix this, Lord, but I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to go down that dark path. That's not you. That's a good counselor. He's not afraid of me. You know, you might be able to intimidate people and control your little world and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't fear you. There's no fear in love. Thank God he doesn't fear us. Thank God he has the courage to tell us things that maybe people don't. He has the courage to say, no, that's not right. He grieves. It's like something's off, and I know it isn't. I think, because he grieves. He's a person. And I can tell it's not right. It's off. But you know what? The same Holy Spirit that can grieve when you're off, man, there's another side to him too. This is where the Apostle Paul is also addressing another love walk issue. He said, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Don't destroy. He's talking about meat offered to idols, things like that. That was the big hot topic, hot button issue there, eat meat offered to idols. Are you going to eat meat offered to idols or are you not going to eat meat? Kind of like what we would do with AI or different things like that. It's like, do you AI or do you not AI? Do you eat the meat offered to idols or do you not eat the meat offered to idols? That was the big church dividing issue back in their day. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I know meat doesn't really make a difference, but if my brother's conscience is struggling with meat right now, I'm not going to eat meat in front of him. I don't want to wound his conscience. I'm going to walk in love, all right? I'm not trying to prove my liberty. Look, you know, he might have been worshiping in a temple where that meat was a week ago before Paul came into town. So he just got saved, but he's got this strong emotional connection with that meat, so for him it's a trigger. Maybe for you it's not a trigger, but whether it's a trigger or not a trigger, if that triggers him, I'm not going to get into a big theological fuss about that the meat doesn't matter. I'm going to respect his convictions. I'm just going to walk in love toward him, right? And just be kind. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Look, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Talking about love here. I've shared this too, where I'm just kind of walking along in my day, and I'm just like, there's just such a joy. I've experienced such a joy of the Holy Ghost. And I just said, Lord, why am I experiencing this joy of the Holy Ghost? He said, because you have no bitterness, wrath, anger, or clamor in your heart right now. There's a forgiveness. And it's like, yeah, I don't. Praise God. The same Holy Spirit that'll grieve when we get corrupt with our communication in our heart, He will rejoice when that heart is clear and free. He's a person, and you're walking with him. And it can be hard sometimes. I get it. But man, he is there to help us. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. We've got the Holy Spirit doing Holy Spirit reasoning in our hearts. He's showing us, he's leading us, he's guiding us. He's giving us the strength and the ability that we need to do it. I'm so glad, so grateful for the Holy Spirit. In fact, when I look at the scripture here where it says he's interceding for us, he's helping us. For some of you Lord of the Rings geeks, you'll kind of remember too, at the end of that trilogy, when you've got Frodo and Sam, you know, Frodo has the task of bringing the ring to Mordor for the destruction, you know, and to save Middle Earth. And Sam is his companion, but Sam is like a type of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the movie and kind of walk through it, we've done that at Door of Life. And there kind of hits this point where Frodo just kind of collapses and he says, I just can't do it. I can't, you know, I'm just exhausted. And, you know, Sam, because it's his task to bring that ring to Mordor. And Sam says, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you. And he lifts him up on his shoulder and begins walking toward Mordor. That's like the ministry of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We got to remember he's there to carry us too, though, right? This is where we've got these decisions, though, in our heart. Holy Spirit, you're there. I remember you. You're with me. You're for me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone for a reason. Praise God, because you're with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. He's a person. That's what he looks like. That's what he sounds like. That's what he's developing in us. And Paul closes his letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We were designed, we were created to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's one of the beautiful things that happened when you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away, all became new. You were created in righteousness and true holiness, your spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit can live in your spirit. Your spirit's been fashioned for the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of your spirit. Man, your whole identity comes back as you begin to see, man, I'm not alone anymore. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. So again, this is just kind of a little bit of an exhortation maybe this morning as we're kind of walking through the days and the times that we're living in right now. Remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. He really is on the inside of you. And the person of the Holy Spirit is in you. He's a person. You can interact with him. You can experience his joy. You can experience his grieving. You can experience his strengthening. We talked about last week, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He can give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. There's, again, so many ways we could go, and I just don't have time on a Sunday morning to go everywhere you'd like to go. But just enough to say this, he lives, the greater one lives on the inside of us. We're not alone. And God wants us to experience the companionship of his spirit. I like the way, you know, David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And there is maybe one more I want to close with. This was a song that we sang recently, and it's called Always on Time. It says, "I remember how you provided, how you held me through the night. I remember how you sustained me when you stepped in to save my life. If I knew then what I know now, I would be still and let you work it out. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time. Jesus, when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You were always on time. I remember how you carried when I couldn't take a step. I remember how you loved me when I couldn't love myself. Oh, what a faithful God. Oh, how he's kept me and sustained me. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through. God, so I worship you." It's a song that celebrates what we're talking about this morning. Celebrates the conscious awareness, not of a phone, not of an AI, a conscious awareness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. That's why Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go, because now I'm going to be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, that we have cause. We have cause to rejoice because we will never be alone again. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence on the inside. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I'm alive today because of Jesus. He saved me. He raised me up to eternal life. He who has the Son has life. Holy Spirit, I recognize you today. I'm guided by you. You're the anointing within. You know all things. And you represent the mind of the Spirit. That's the mind I want. I don't just want an answer. I want the mind of the Spirit in my matter. Thank you, Father, that you're with me by the precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Again, kind of a exhortation maybe for the times that we live in, truths that we know, we're aware of. But man, these are things I've been challenged, okay? I'm not just preaching down here. I'm taking in all these things, like say, "Hey, come on, Ed, just remember, acknowledge me in all your ways," right? It's cool, it's fun, it's new things, you're breaking ground. And like I said, doesn't mean you can't use this stuff for good ways and good aspects. But like anything, we also need to be aware that we don't have to go there for comfort, for loneliness. You know, you can go there for understanding, guidance, different as far as natural understanding, different things like that. Again, you can pray out your convictions specifically as it relates to that. But I'll say this. There is a companionship that you have on the inside by the Holy Ghost. And we're meant to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit. and to not let anything or anyone take the place of that precious relationship we have with Him. Amen. Praise God.